This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2021 special is brought to you by Masing.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Darshan Johan, and with me in studio is Julia Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann. So as always, we've got two stories for you today. Today, both will be centered around Budget 2021. So our first story, under Budget 2021, 15 million ringgit has been allocated for the Cultural Economy Development Agency, also known as Cendana, to be used for the arts and culture sector. But after an immensely challenging year of shows, exhibitions, festivals, and most public gatherings being severely limited by the COVID-19 pandemic and the various movement control orders, we are wondering if this proposed amount is sufficient. So we'll be speaking to people from the arts and culture sector to find out what they think.
And in our second budget story, while the B40 community have been among the hardest hit since the MCO was first implemented back in March, and many of them continue to struggle till today to put food on the table as much of the country goes back under the CMCO. So we'll take a look at, you know, how they would benefit from the proposed budget 2021 and who might just fall between the cracks.
Yes, so we'll be talking about the B40 community a little bit later, but for now, during the announcement of the proposed budget 2021 last Friday, the 6th of November, it was announced that 15 million ringgit has been allocated for the Cultural Economy Development Agency, Cendana, to be used for the arts and culture sector. So while announcing the budget, Finance Minister Tengku's Dato' Sri Zafrul Tengku Abdul Aziz said that the allocation would benefit over 5,000 arts and culture practitioners.
Yeah. So on the surface, you know, this is an increase from the allocation provided to Cendana last year by the Pakatan Harapan government. So in budget 2020, Cendana was allocated 5 million ringgit. Meanwhile, an additional 10 million ringgit had been allocated to community-based urban regeneration organisation, Think City, whose work sort of straddles both arts and culture as well. But, you know, no one can deny that it has been an immensely challenging year for the Malaysian arts sector. Since the MCO was implemented in March, you know, the halting of public events and gatherings, all of that has greatly impacted their ability to continue functioning. And since March, most arts companies and practitioners have not been able to put on shows, you know, except for that small window of a few months just before this current CMCO was implemented.
Yeah, but even then, because of the need to physically distance and have strict SOPs, many arts companies struggle to function as they normally would have, not to mention the fact that most people weren't attending events in the first place. And let's not forget that the majority of people in the arts sector get paid on a gig basis, which means if they don't work on a show or event, they get no income. So with all of this in mind, the question arises, is the 15 million ringgit sufficient to see the industry through 2021?
So to elaborate on that, according to a report by Cendana, 93% of Malaysian artists and cultural workers surveyed recently had been negatively impacted by the pandemic, with 70% having lost all or most of their income. So this is not a small number. Now, it does need to be said that under the Cendana Economic Recovery Plan, 225 million was allocated to boost the creative industries through programs, grants and soft loans. But as of now, it isn't clear how much this is able to sustain the arts industry over the long term, especially if the pandemic continues to prevent gatherings or events.
Yeah, and it also isn't clear how exactly this budget allocation is to be used and how it will address the needs of a sector that is sprawled across the country and extends from individual practitioners to companies and range across industries as different as theatre, visual arts, crafts, traditional arts and much more. So to get a little more clarity, we have on the line Izan Satrina Mohamad Salihuddin, founding chief executive officer of Cendana. Thanks for joining us, Izan. To start with, what was your initial reaction to the 15 million ringgit allocation to Cendana when it comes to meeting the needs of practitioners in the creative industry?
As 93% of Malaysian artists and cultural workers surveyed recently had been negatively impacted by COVID-19, with 70% having lost all or most of their income, the allocation of 15 million was really an encouraging announcement for the arts and culture, and demonstrates a positive understanding by the government of Malaysia on the important role of arts and culture in our daily lives and in the life of the nation.
And what are Cendana's plans towards putting to good use this funding?
Well, since the announcement, obviously there are some plans in mind on what needs to be done. But to ensure that the plans are relevant and do meet the needs of the artists, we are currently engaging the sectors that are under Cendana currently, which is performing arts, visual arts, independent music and crafts. In small and medium spaces, less than 500 pax, and in public spaces. So we're looking at supporting the grassroots artists, and we're making sure they are part of the conversations with us in drafting these plans.
So isn't the pandemic's impact on the arts and creative industries really incomparable? You know, I would venture to think that 15 million ringgit isn't going to go a long way. So what are Cendana's additional plans towards helping those affected?
15 million ringgit is a humble allocation for the arts and culture sector, but it's definitely a good step forward. We must also be mindful that under the Cendana plan for the creative industries, an allocation of 225 million was provided for across MDEC and My Creative Ventures group. And the National Malaysia Plan, the RMK12, is coming up soon. So let's work to ensure there is an allocation for the next 5 years for the arts and culture and also the creative sectors.
Thank you, Izan. That was Izan Satrina Mohamad Salehuddin, Founding Chief Executive Officer of Cendana.
So it is early days yet, and of course the budget has only been tabled. It still needs to be approved. But meanwhile, we did want to get some insight into how useful this allocation will be from the arts practitioners themselves. So joining us for that is Sharifa Alisha, a representative from Arts Coalition Reformatsi. So thanks for joining us, Alisha. What was Reformatsi's reaction to the 15 million ringgit allocated to Cendana under Budget 2021?
I think the response was pretty much the same amongst all of us. There's like, I don't know, 20, 25 of us in the committee. So like in total, we have way more, but within the committee, the response was pretty much the same, that it was great that we were getting more money from last year, but there was a sense of like, it's still definitely not enough. Like 15 million, hardly scrapes the top of what we want to get at. And it was very hard for us to try and like come up with something to say to it. So our reaction, to put it succinctly, is that it's just not enough. And because a lot of the committee members have been like in contact with people from the government and have been in discussion with them, and it almost felt like none of the discussions were taken into consideration, because it just felt like they weren't really listening. They were just doing it just so that they can say they did it. But I don't know, 15 million is still more than last year. So we are going to take what we can and still try our best to move forward with it. You know, we are the arts industry, so we are going to continue to try to do what we can with what we have.
Yes, the 15 million ringgit is more than last year, but it's also been an extraordinarily difficult year for the arts as well in terms of coming into 2021, especially after struggling with the pandemic this year. What do you think will be the most urgent needs for the Malaysian arts sector?
So urgent needs for us are very simple. In 2021, we need jobs. We need to be able to create jobs for artists and for art companies. We need there to be a possibility for people to keep working, whether it's under a COVID-19 frame or another frame, but we just need there to be a sense that people can continue to work in the arts industry, because we don't want people to go off, like give up the arts and start working in the office, some office somewhere, and not be able to find work in the field that they want to find work. I guess like to be able to have grants or incentives to give to arts companies so that they can hire full-time staff and they can hire freelancers more often. We want there to be money to be given to the Ministry of Education, because then it's very important to us that we spend money on educating the next generation about the arts, and like we show them just how essential arts is, because then it helps us create the our audience and it helps us create more artists. Because one thing that we've realized is that even though we have a huge arts industry, the audience range is almost the same people, same group of people. And we want to be able to break those boundaries. We want everyone to understand that arts is everywhere. It's essential. And I think that's one of the main things in 2021 that we're hoping will be highlighted. And maybe working out long-term programs with private companies so that they can support the arts, whether it's tax rebates or whether it's, you know, just being able to give them grants so that they can pay full-time artists to work for them.
Okay, so now the 15 million ringgit has been allocated to Cendana. So it will be Cendana that will plan and disperse it to the arts and culture community. So do you think this was the way to go? Or, you know, could there have been other ways that the funding could have been allocated to the arts sector in Malaysia?
Yeah, so this one I'll probably answer as myself, as a 27-year-old who doesn't know too much. I think for me, I'm just usually not too keen on gatekeepers, especially private companies for arts industries. I think it's almost counterproductive when you rely on one entity to take care of a whole arts industry, you know, because it's almost like you're asking one person to take care of so many, because then everything comes down to the bias and the... And I'm not saying Cendana is inherently biased, but I'm saying that everyone has their biases. And I think it's just like this idea of gatekeeping that makes me uncomfortable. And I'm wondering if, you know, another way to go about it would be to get in touch with the local companies in Malaysia, local theatre practitioners themselves, and be able to make a... Like, it's almost like this is the government giving Cendana the responsibility to take care of a whole industry. And I know Cendana wants that responsibility or is interested in that responsibility. And Cendana does is open to feedback and is open to conversation with everyone in the arts industry. But it just makes me a little uncomfortable. And I don't know what the other alternative would be. But at this moment, I think maybe the artist in me doesn't like gatekeeping.
Okay, before we let you go, Lisha, what do you think an ideal budget 2021 for the local art sector would look like? What should it address?
This is a really funny response, but the ideal budget, one of our members was saying, would be, I don't know, 85.5 million. Because she was saying, because like, what is an ideal budget, right? Like, we as artists, we're constantly just there waiting or like begging for money and like trying our best to create content so that it's worth the money. And then like suddenly somebody asks us, what's an ideal budget? And we're like, oh, what is an ideal number? 85.5? But I think what's really important for us to focus on, at least for me, is education. I think to be able to educate the youth, and not even the youth, to be able to educate people about how essential arts is to us is extremely important. Because now it's very obvious that they view arts as a kind of like hobby, or as it's been viewed in the country for a long time as a kind of like branch of tourism. But it isn't that, you know, it's very much intricate to our lives. As you can see from our traditional arts like Mak Yung and the Wayang Kulit, you know, these are things that have been cathartic to people for a long time. Like, we don't make arts just for the sake of making art. We make art because we're human and it's intrinsic to who we are to create and to tell our stories. It's just so normal for us to do that. And then it seems like it's not essential for us to do that. And during a pandemic, I understand that we are not the frontliners because, you know, there are actual people who are putting their actual lives on the line. But I think if anyone enjoys watching movies or reading books or listening to music or just looking at a painting, walking around the city, you know, looking at architecture, there's a sense that you're looking for art. And I think it's very essential. And I think we need to be able to spend a lot of money educating people about that and allowing people to explore that. Because I think it's about time we retire the whole, like, arts won't help you make money rhetoric, you know? Because that shouldn't be the only reason why someone doesn't do something in life.
All right. Thank you, Alicia. That was Sharifa Alicia, a representative from a arts coalition, Reform Artsy. So as we said earlier, things are still in early stages with this. So we will continue to bring you updates as and when we have any.
Yes. And meanwhile, if you can, do keep in mind that our arts industry is struggling. And if you're able to, try and support them, even though even through the pandemic, many have been putting out work online or on social media. And, you know, you can help by tuning in. You can share the information with your circles, or you could provide monetary support. Every little bit will definitely be appreciated. I think all of us remember how during the MCO, all of us went online. You know, we were watching all the different artists providing their shows for free. And, you know, all of us took such solace in watching. Right. All of that, right? So as they struggle, we too really need to support as much as we can.
Mm. All right. So we are going to go for a quick break right now. And after the break, we'll be discussing if the proposed budget 2021 benefits the B40 community. You're listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2021 special was brought to you by Masing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.